Congratulations, you made it to Friday. Good morning, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. How was Halloween?
How much of Emily's candy did you steal?
None yet. I didn't have any candy. She did get a really nice cookie from one of the neighbors, like a frosted cookie. We shared some of that.
Okay.
Otherwise, I didn't have any candy last night, which is strange.
Seems very unlike you.
It is. I don't know why.
Great opportunity you missed.
And now she's nicknamed Cookies DeCourcy.
Yes. It was a great night. It was by far the best weather in the past two decades.
It was by far the best Halloween I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I can remember what it was like when I was four, but I would imagine I was bundled up when I was four.
Sure.
I mean, we were out there in short sleeves. I didn't have to put like layers on over Emily's costume. It was awesome. We had such a fun night, and our neighborhood is pretty sweet too. So that added to it.
Yeah. Ellie, I think Ellie had as much fun as Teddy did, even though she wasn't dressed up, because I bet you get to you guys. Teddy went as Santa Claus. He hit the door running and screaming, ho, ho, ho. Because he just wanted to get out there, and then he just wanted to chase all the other kids. Ellie was trying to keep up, and every time we would come to a door, oh, it's Santa Claus, and you know, and they would ask about his costume. Mm-hmm. Ellie, along with Lisa's mom, got out Ellie's sewing machine and made his costume. So she was beaming with pride as everybody would comment on his costume.
Good for her. He looked awesome.
It was so much fun. Last night, it was the first time Teddy was in on Halloween. We've obviously dressed him up, but this is the first time he wasn't freaking out going to the door. Mm-hmm. He actually understood that people are only in costumes, but at the end of this terrifying walk for a three-year-old is candy. Mm-hmm. And he was all about it.
How many Aiden Hutchinson costumes did you see?
I mean, I live in Plymouth.
Oh, well, then.
So, yeah, it was like every other kid was.
Any on crutches really going all in?
There were a couple, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the crutches for the kids, and it depended on the age. Like if it was a, you know, 8 to 12-year-old, you could see them, as they would go to the door, use the crutch. But then as soon as they left, it was almost like a lightsaber.
Oh, it's got to be.
They were whacking their friends.
And it would slow you down.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were running from house to house, but then it just became a weapon, which was awesome to watch.
Did you have more trick-or-treaters because of the weather this year?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Don't think it was even close. Yeah, this is the busiest our front porch had been.
See, I don't know if it's Royal Oak hit or miss. Like, I was out on the porch playing a little Halloween music. We had the big bowl, the full-size candy. At the end of the night, I still had a bunch of full-size candy, so we're going to leave it out for, like, delivery drivers today. I mean, like, I was surprised, given the weather, that we didn't have more trick-or-treaters.
Well, maybe, I don't know, because you can hit a lot of houses in Royal Oak.
But
I
it's mean, also, not, yeah, it's...
But maybe they went different
other
places.
Neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so we have some young kids, so it's always fun to see them come up, and they're all excited. Mm-hmm. And our direct neighbor, it was just like your son, their first Halloween really understanding it. So when they, it's kind of cool to see them grasp it.
I thought maybe it was just a reputation that you and your wife have of just not liking kids.
We do it right for the kids on Halloween.
Why would we want to go to their house? And plus the fact that, I mean, you're roaming around the mean streets of Royal Oak there in your neighborhood, as we've talked about, there might be, you know, piles of dog poop.
Isn't that the guy that doesn't know where Bronner's is or what it is?
I get not stopping by for Christmas, but for Halloween.
We're not stopping there. He has a catio. I mean, the reasons I'm here, he hasn't been to Canada.
They're still full-size candy bars. We're trying to bribe these kids, all right?
Right, yeah.
He's not on the 14-3 bus. He's jinxing the Red Wings.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And he might pick
bad
against
luck going to that door, even if he's giving her out full-size candy bars. I'm not going up there.
But it was a great night for trick-or-treaters.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Also at Thursday Night Football, did you keep an eye on that?
I did. How about Garrett Wilson?
The one-handed catch?
Oh. I mean, and so you look on most websites right now, the highlight, the you know, thumbtack picture that they use, thumbnail that they use is him, and it literally looks like the Jordan logo. You know, I mean, one hand up, legs splayed, bringing that ball in. It was unbelievable. And the fact that it was almost not a catch.
Right.
They reviewed it. Can you imagine the travesty? Because it would go down as, I mean, okay, you caught the ball, great, but you didn't get in. So people would just kind of dismiss it.
Forget about it.
But since it was an actual touchdown, it was amazing.
Wasn't it third and long, too? Like, have it spot for them.
Yeah, and weren't they, was that their second touchdown? Was that to go ahead, or was that their first touchdown? I can't remember if it was, because their first touchdown was not counted.
Right. Because Corley, the rookie, he gets it on the end around. And John, I don't know how this ever happens. Can you explain this?
It happens way too much.
I know.
He is running into the end zone. It was a 19-yard run, I believe, is what it was.
Yeah.
And as he is going untouched into the end zone, he drops the ball. And they go to review it, and he dropped the ball literally like 6 inches. Before he crosses the goal line, the ball hits the ground. The momentum of the ball and him going forward carries the ball out of the back of the end zone. So not only does he not get a touchdown, it's a fumble out of the back of the end zone, defense's ball. How many times do players have to see this? Because we all have seen it. We've seen it for a number of years.
Well, especially you're a rookie. You have to do all the little things right. He's not a regular in that lineup. He doesn't get a lot of playing time. He's not part of the offense. The last thing you want to do in a game where it's low scoring, where you don't have a first half touchdown period, that you're the reason your team is scoreless going into the break.
Well, so not only that, but just think of the selfish reasons as to why you would want to hold onto that ball. It's your first touchdown in the NFL.
Great point.
And I would not let go of that ball. I'd probably still have it attached to my arm. I would not let go of that ball. I would take it to the sidelines. I'd hand it to the equipment guy. Say, please put this one. Please paint this one up. First touchdown ever. First of many, of course, we would say.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't get why you would let go of the ball. Why is it cool to the second that you, the moment that you cross the goal line, that you drop the ball? Like, even if it's a touchdown, like, I just don't understand that concept, because it, so many times we see it, this one. And even if it's not a, you know, the most famous one is a Leon Lett, right? And that's not a drop. It's, was it Don Beebe is running him down, and he is celebrating before he goes in and knocks it out. But
the first I can remember of a player just out and out dropping it.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest. Yeah,
I think that was a primetime game too. It was a punt. I don't know if it was a punt return.
Might have been. He had a bunch of good punt returns, but
deep ball, according to Greg.
All right, photographic memory. But yeah, that's the first I can remember where it's not like a defender comes in and rips it away. It's your own dumbassery causes you to lose a touchdown.
Why is that cool?
It's not. Anyway, I don't even think it's like old man shaking at clouds. Like it's football fan not understanding why football player doesn't want a touchdown, because that's all that means is you don't want the touchdown.
I know. It's one thing if you're straining and you're being tackled and you're extending the ball and it gets knocked out moments before you go into the end zone. But he wasn't under duress. This was, I'm just going to be cool.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's the reason. I don't get it. It just makes no sense. Celebrate with the ball. Then you'll never do it. Right?
Yeah.
Go hand it to the ref like Barry after you cross.
Or keep it for yourself.
Right.
That's your first touchdown.
It's just so Jets.
So I think the Jets are going to be a big story today because they won, and are they figuring it out? I actually thought yesterday told me more about Houston. Like as a 6-2. Yeah, there's some concerns. And I think they can explain it away as they don't have Diggs and they still don't have Nico Collins back. But their offense did not look very good, John.
No. What is it? The sophomore slump for CJ Stroud. And it's not like he is the reason. He's obviously the leader of that offense. He's had moments this year where he looks like exactly like he did last year. But again, that's with Nico Collins.
But I think the takeaway would be they're good, not like on that next tier of contenders.
Right. So if you're looking ahead,
Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Lions traveling to Houston.
See, now, Houston looks exactly like I thought they would. I thought they were overhyped this year. That if you went back to last season, they were the best team in their division. Okay. That's a really, really, really bad division. And I think their schedule last year was very weak, and that they really didn't beat too many teams of substance. And then everybody got onto the CJ Stroud train. He's a good quarterback, okay?
Yeah, he is.
He's still young, and he racked up stats last year against bad teams. And remember when Cleveland went in there last year and trounced them in the regular season? Then they got trounced in the postseason. But, you know, Cleveland wasn't that good. I just feel like they're not one of those top they were put on the tier, and they didn't deserve it yet.
Their schedule this year, they lost to the Vikings, the Packers, and now the Jets. Their win against the Bills, remember, there was some Bills mistakes at the end of that game, and it was low scoring. I think they're in the good, not great category. We've got picks coming up at 6:35. Heather continues her dominance. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, fall into family fun this season with the YMCA of Metro Detroit. From youth basketball to gymnastics and swimming, the Y's fall programs are perfect for keeping kids active, building skills, and making friends. And for the adults, there's group exercise classes, less meals, and free child watch while you work out for a membership of less than $3 a day. Don't miss out. Visit ymcadetroit.org or your nearest YMCA to learn more and try the Y for free. Fall into family fun today at the Y.
Lions head to Green Bay this weekend. Massive football game. It's going to be a huge part of what we do today. Happy Friday. It's November, and the Lions will play their first outdoor game of the season.
I can't believe it's November.
How is it November, and how is my baby almost one?
This year has absolutely flown by. It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
But yeah, it is now November. We started this journey back in August. Obviously, games in September, October, and this is the first time the Lions are outside.
Indoor home games.
Everybody's going
indoor.
Everybody wants
road games.
Yeah, all the new stadiums want covers, lids.
It's the Bears game later in the year. There are not very many outdoor games. Rain and wind expected. We'll factor it into the picks coming up at 6:35, where Heather is still up 10 games on everybody. 41-22. What is this?
Well, and just as you would expect the coin flip to be 50-50, right? Sure. Last week, or week ago, 4-3. This week, 3-4.
Are you done with the coin?
Which makes me 50-50.
You got to be better than 50-50. So I think I would drop the coin.
If I was actually putting money on these games, like 50-50 would be pretty decent. Like I'm breaking even.
You're not 50-50 with the coin. You are 6-7 with the coin. You are 1-0 going with your gut.
Oh, because I went with my gut with Michigan.
You were the only person to pick Michigan last week.
I was on Wolverine Island. You're welcome.
And you're decked out in your Michigan gear. That game will be in the picks this week as well. Michigan, yes. Oregon, Spartans, they're hosting Indiana. Ranked game, old brass platoon on the line. We'll get to it at 6:35. With Michigan, it's not just the number one team in the country this week. There's the whispers that they may land an elite quarterback in the coming weeks. So Belleville's own Bryce Underwood is committed to LSU. Mm-hmm. But there are reports on three saying a $5 million offer may be made to him. Could they keep the in-state two-time?
Oh, it's growing. I thought it was.
I saw five. Oh, I saw three at one point, then five. The idea is, can they keep a two-time in-state champion, a five-star quarterback who's even higher rated than J.J. McCarthy? Can they keep an in-state guy and get that difference maker at quarterback? Otherwise, it's probably going to have to mean a trip to the portal. But why people are so interested in this right now is Michigan has a quarterback or had a quarterback committed in this upcoming class. He has decommitted as the rumors have only picked up that they may flip Underwood from LSU to Michigan. We say this to say we don't know anything at this point,
right?
But this is a position of need for Michigan, and this would be a big time addition if they could bring in a five-star from the state of Michigan.
Oh, anytime you bring in a five-star, especially at the quarterback position, that's a difference maker. And here, I know everybody's wondering, why did one player decommit before they even have a commit from another one? Because there's nothing guaranteed. And maybe he knows something that we don't. Maybe the next commit is ready to jump ship from another school and be on board in Ann Arbor. It also might be, wait a second, this guy is not committed here. I am. And you're willing to offer this other guy $5 million. And I'm not, I don't know what the whole NIL thing, I'm trying to get behind. I understand it's the cost of doing business right now. But if you're committed, you're first on the bus. And then all of a sudden, that's not good enough. They're going to go out and get this other guy. I think that could be part of the reason why one would decommit.
So the Free Press has summed this up. Recent report from On3, Underwood is projected to land an NIL package north of $5 million over 3 to 4 seasons. And then they talk about how Michigan has tried to shift in this landscape. But of course, they're going to cite the Conquering Heroes podcast with John Jansen and some quotes from Ward Manuel about that and the idea that they do want to be more competitive in this era. The problem is it's still kind of murky, right? I mean,
where'd you hear that?
Conquering Heroes podcast.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. M Global Podcast with John Jansen, in case you're looking for that one.
But they give you some love in the Free Press. And they also reference Dave Portnoy, who has said that he wants to fund $3 million to get the program a top 10 quarterback year in and year out. I don't know if he's involved in this in any way, shape, or form or not. But yeah, Bryce Underwood is apparently the real deal. A 2-time state champion, 5-star player, and a guy that Michigan would love to get in at that quarterback position. It's not known if he actually will flip or not. Still has stayed committed to LSU at this point. So let's get to Heather's news and find out what else is going on.
All right, let's do it. A Westland man has been charged with robbing a string of businesses, including a lingerie shop. And he did it all while wearing basically a Halloween costume, a clown mask, and a skeleton costume. So the robberies happened. No, thank goodness, he was not wearing lingerie, but he did probably, he actually wasn't going for the lingerie, if he was going for the money in the register, yeah. But maybe he got his hands on a couple things and ran.
Nice,
I don't
for the
know.
Misses.
Yeah. It all happened throughout the night on Sunday. He started by robbing this lingerie shop, and there he was wearing a skeleton mask, a black jacket, some dark pants. Then he attempted to rob a McDonald's, but he had done a costume change by that point. There he was wearing a clown mask and a green jacket. And then after he couldn't get into the McDonald's, he continued on. He went to a gas station, got in there. In total, he got about $1,500. So he got away with some cash. Police did eventually find him along with a gun, all of his costumes and stacks of cash. So he was arrested.
So he went from lingerie to the Big Mac.
Yep.
To a gas station.
He did.
Seems logical.
I mean, it almost worked, I guess. So he was busted. Jared Goff has accomplished something that no other quarterback in Lions history has ever done. It's pretty cool. He was named NFC Offensive Player of the Month on Thursday, becoming just the third player in franchise history to receive the distinction. So good for him. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson did it twice, and then running back Barry Sanders did it four times.
He's the only quarterback to be able to do that for the Detroit Lions. How about that, Mr. Cookies?
That rarefied air.
Wow.
Stafford never did it.
It's also the second time this season the Lions have had a player bring home Player of the Month honors. Aiden Hutchinson did it on defense back in September, obviously, before his big injury. Let's see. Only once before have the Lions had two players win NFC Offensive and Defensive Player of the Month in the same season. That was back in 1991.
Oh.
With Barry Sanders and Ray Crockett.
Okay. I believe that, yeah.
That 91 was the best season of many people's lifetime.
Until
maybe now this season.
Officials spent Thursday morning searching the Detroit River following a report of a person in the water. This has been happening over and over. People, don't go in the river. Don't do it. Officials sent a helicopter to help with the search. They were refueling the helicopter to get back out there right before 8 a.m. There were Coast Guard boats in the river. This was right near Belle Isle. The Detroit Fire Department was out there. Boats from Canada's like rescue center were out there as well. Shortly before noon, however, the search was suspended. They said they needed to wait till more information was available. And it's still not known either way whether somebody was actually in the water or not. But like I said, this has been happening frequently. Thursday's rescue operation comes after Detroit firefighters rescued a man from the river last week. So,
like, what is it? Like, they think like it's not that far. It's like an optical illusion. Like, there's still a current. It's still not safe. As good a swimmer as you think you are, how much did we spend in the summer talking about people who drown? Guys, be smart.
I know.
It's every time I hear something like this, I always think of Chris Farley and the Saturday Night Live skit.
Van down by the river.
Living in a van down by the river.
Yes.
Why not?
Joe Burrow was asked, apparently ahead of Super Bowl 56, who would play him in a movie. And apparently at the time he had said that he had heard he looks a lot like Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah. They're like twins. You don't think so? What?
No.
You don't? You really don't see it?
I mean, maybe a little. I don't think they look a lot alike. But either way, more than a year and a half later, you think I'm crazy?
I do think you're crazy.
I think he looks more like, Joe Burrow looks like a projection of what you think young Macaulay Culkin would look like.
Okay, I agree with that. Yes. Because young Macaulay Culkin, the Home Alone Macaulay Culkin, looks like he would be Joe Burrow.
He would grow up to be that. Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
I can see that because now adult Macaulay Culkin does not look like Joe Burrow currently. Yeah. I don't think. But either way, the story is that after all of that, Macaulay Culkin decided to dress up as Burrow for Halloween. I saw
that's
shots.
Not Joe Burrow. That doesn't look like Joe Burrow. There's
hit the arrow.
No, I'm using the one I want to look at.
Okay.
Hit the arrow. The other one doesn't look like him either, though.
Hit the arrow.
This one where he's sprawled out, cabana style.
It looks like something like Joe Burrow would do as well.
He looks more like you.
Whoa.
Like it.
He looks more like cookies?
Macaulay Culkin, well, the pose, like in his cabana outfit.
Are you saying I look like Joe Burrow?
No, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Joe Burrow plays for the Bengals. Cat guy.
Hey. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Exactly. Anyway, check out the photos online. It was cute. He posted on Instagram, tagged Joe Burrow. Yeah. Joe Burrow then sent it out.
The difference is that's not a one piece. Cookies was in a onesie.
No, he wasn't.
It looked like a onesie. Anyway, I'm going to choose to take the compliment that I look like Joe Burrow. We got the picks coming up next, 97.1. Week 10 already of the picks. November is here. The pick standings. Heather Park, 41-22. A 10-game lead on me. A 12-game lead on Tom. And in dead last, Greg and John Jansen, 14 games back. Yep. Let's get to it.
Game of the day. It's the Greg Palm Game of the Week. Game day will be there. Big noon Saturday will be there. Number 3, the Ohio State University, a 3.5-point favorite at the Pennsylvania State University. Jim.
Whose booty is going to pucker more? James Franklin, Ryan Day, or me betting on one of these guys?
Is it the booty or is it the actual sphincter?
Either way, I have to pick somebody here. I'm going to go Penn State, ball control. They're elite on third down. Make Ryan Day feel that pressure. We are knocking off Ohio State and knocking them out of the Big Ten race.
There might not be two more fan bases that are pointing at their coaches as to the reason why or the reason why not. And I think when they come out of this one, whoever loses, there is going to be a whole lot of answering to do. I think Penn State wins this one. It's at home. Drew Allar is trending in the right direction. This may be more of a want to than an actual pick, but it's 3.5. Give me the home team.
Heather.
Have you guys seen Nobody Wants This on Netflix?
That don't even know what
stars
that is.
Adam Brody. You know who Adam Brody looks like? Penn Badgley. I'm going with Penn State.
She's winning.
I think everybody's stealing my notes, Penn State.
I'm going Penn State here, too. I feel like there's like a field goal type game. It feels like that. It's going to be tight. Ohio State, all their big games this year, they can't get out of their way.
Yeah.
All right, so we're all picking Penn State. Awesome. Number 10, Texas A&M travels to the hottest place on earth, Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, to take on the Gamecocks. Aggies are 3.5-point favorites. Start with John Jansen.
The Aggies have now come to the realization that they could be in the SEC championship game. They don't want their in-state rival to come into the SEC and take things over. They're going to do everything that they can to win this game. Give me the Aggies.
I'm also going with Texas A&M.
You're just copying me.
John, why would I copy you?
Just trying to stay even at least. I don't know.
College football has strangely been devoid of trip-up games. As we enter November, I'll take South Carolina. Gov.
I think you nailed it, Greg. This is trip-up weekend. There's going to be a theme this weekend. And the relentless nature for Texas A&M schedule is going to catch them this week, and the Cocks have been playing very good this year. Give me South Carolina.
It is a letdown spot for Texas A&M off a big win, and South Carolina sneaky good with their defensive line, and it's a sneaky tough place to play. Give me the Gamecocks.
Ooh, is this the upset weekend?
Ooh, this is going to be the second one. We had a big one earlier this year. This is going to be the second one.
Okay.
America's darling, the Indiana Hoosiers travel to the banks of the old Red Cedar, 7.5-point favorites at Michigan State. Heather Park.
Okay, I don't know why these are all going back to TV shows. There's a show I'm watching right now called High Potential. Caitlin Olsen is the star, who I really like. She went to Oregon, so I'm picking. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on Indiana.
You're trying to trash Michigan. You're just trying to...
I'm sorry, I'm picking Indiana.
Okay.
Oh, going against your people.
You heard my next pick already, so I won't explain next time.
Oh. All right, you're good.
You might have to, because I wasn't following.
Well, it's a great show. You have to watch.
Yeah.
High Potential.
Hoosiers are more consistent on offense. IU. Gov.
Oh, boy. Every time, once in a while...
upset weekend.
I get a feeling. Not only will Michigan State cover, Michigan State's going to win this game outright. Save that for the...
Ooh.
Talk about high potential. How about these Hoosiers, baby? They're called Windiana for a reason. They beat everybody by 14-plus. Rourke is starting. MSU doesn't get pressure on the quarterback. Google the 9-0 Hoosiers.
Who calls it Windiana?
I've heard it around. Windiana is going to be at least 11 Windiana.
There's only one person that calls it Windiana. And because you did that, I can't take it anymore. Michigan State.
Oh, boy.
All right. Number one. The Oregon Ducks travel to the Big House, taking on Michigan. Oregon's favored by 14.5 points. Guys, you know the stat. I'll just say the two numbers. 14-5, Michigan. Jim.
Well, Tom.
Oh, Tom, sorry. Out of order here.
I just think this is too many points. I feel like Michigan might end up playing their best game of the year and scare the living crap out of the Ducks, but the Ducks survive and win. But give me Michigan in the points.
It feels suspiciously low. One's the number one team. One team's fighting for 6-6. I would have thought this would be closer to 3 touchdowns. It's only 14.5. Travel might be part of it. Give me the Wolverines.
The travel will be a part of it, although I did see them travel to West Lafayette and absolutely curb stomp the Boilermakers. But... And the 14.5, again, doesn't make sense. I thought it was going to be more as well because this is not a rivalry game. Like in rivalry games, you look at this and you say, okay, well, it's way too much. I am going to take Michigan. I'm hopeful that they found something, some rhythm offensively. Defense will step up. No turnovers. Keeps it within 14.
Heather, we're waiting with bated breath on who you will pick.
You know who I'm picking.
No new TV show? Just going to go with the same one?
Yes.
High Potential?
Do you know who she is? She's funny. I like her. It's a good show.
What's her name again?
Caitlin Olsen. She's in like Always Sunny.
Is that one of the Olsen twins?
No.
No, John.
No.
I thought she might be. She really isn't.
No.
She's not related to the Olsen twins.
Idiot.
No.
Because I know Elizabeth Olsen is.
It's spelled differently, too.
One of their kids.
No.
No.
Her name is spelled differently.
Oh, she's the one from Always Sunny.
That's what I just said.
Just said that. Someone listened to the show. Thank you. NFL.
I was Googling her. Sorry.
The Bears at the Cardinals. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5. We'll start with Gov.
You know what? The football things here point to the Bears because they got the better defense, and I think they're the better team. However, they're a very young, immature team. I got to see them in this spot. I think there could be a hangover from what happened in Washington for numerous reasons. There's a ton of chatter in Chicago this week because of what Eberflus did. This might be the beginning of the end of him. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm not sure if things are okay in Bears land after that meltdown. Players calling out coaching decisions. Give me Arizona.
Yeah, players calling out coaching decisions. Coaches calling out players. It's a dumpster fire. They may be able to recover at some point. I'm going to go Cardinals.
I'll take the dumpster fire. I'll go with the Bears.
Good for
That's right, Heather.
Good for you.
Hey, I thought we liked to hold team people accountable. Bears know they let one get away last week. Renewed focus, renewed effort, renewed performance. Bears.
Greg, I agree with you. Got to hold people accountable, but it's how they're taking it on both sides, coaches and players. They're grumpy that somebody's speaking up.
Another game in the NFC North, the Colts at the Vikings, Minnesota, 5.5-point favorite. Ooh, devil's number, Jim.
Flacco in is an upgrade. 5.5 is a good number. Give me the Colts.
I'm going to take the Colts as well. I'll take the vet in Flacco.
You know what I'm going to pick, right?
Your people.
My people.
Yeah.
Going with the Vikings.
Good for you.
Heather's people bounce back from the Honolulu flu. Vikes. Gov.
Vikes to win, but the Colts cover here. I like the Flacco change.
All right, Stoney. There we go. Finally, Lions, 2.5-point favorites. They travel to Lambeau Field, the lukewarm, not-so-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, taking on the Packers.
Yeah, Goff has won there 2 years in a row. I don't care if it's outside. I don't care what the weather is. Give me the Lions. Give me the Lions big time in this one. Statement game. Yep.
Shoes. I'm going for the Lions. Let's go.
Packers.
It's about time.
Goff.
I'm going Lions, but the fit right here is just with the weather change. Like, this is going to be an abrupt change to fall in this game. When you turn on this game on Sunday, it's going to be dark, dingy, rainy. And it's like, and the, guess what? It's going to get dark quicker because of the time change. It's like we're just like warp speeding in the fall. I trust the Lions to win this game. It's a low number. Give me the Lions.
At 3.5 earlier in the week, I think this was an easy Packer play. I am torn because this could be the week the pass rush catches up to the Lions. The first real weather game of the year. Packers have a four-man front, some good safeties, but ultimately, Detroit's offensive line has a big edge in this spot. They can play that style. Lions over the Packers.
Mm.
Those are the picks. It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all, and it's right in the name. It's All Day IPA, and here's what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether it's at home, at the tailgate, or in the stadium. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
John, you bring up a good point. Good morning, everybody. 97.1. It's a football Friday. It's Lions and Packers. It's America's game of the week.
Yeah, the point is, I thought we had somebody on the show that was a reformed Lions fan or a reformed Packer fan, yet it's Packer Island.
The only member of the show to pick against the Lions this week is former, air quotes, Packer fan,
yeah.
Greg Hargrave.
Bleeding green and yellow.
One is allowed to pick against the Lions.
I'm not aware of that, because anytime I pick against them, I'm like run through the muck.
That is true.
But you say it
unfairly so, by the way.
In a much, well, I don't know. You say it in a more negative tone.
So I should pick against them with a smile?
It's not what you say, it's how you say it. How many times do I have to tell you this? Something that your mom
more.
And dad should have taught you as a youngster.
Thank you. I'll work on it.
Maybe that's why nobody comes to your house trick-or-treating. It's just, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
This is a day of introspection. Yes. 248-539-9797. We have given our picks. Clearly the floor is yours to weigh in. But let's talk more about this game, John. The level of confidence. You heard me. I was going back and forth on this one. This is not a gimme in my mind.
Oh, there's no question. It's not a gimme. First of all, it's a division opponent. And we've seen division opponents that are terrible, you know, a.k.a. Cleveland, jump up and beat a team that most people believe is much better than them. Cleveland has no Super Bowl aspirations, yet Baltimore does. So how do you explain them going to Cleveland and losing? It's a division opponent. You're more familiar with your division opponents because you face them twice every year. You build your team to win a Super Bowl, but you've got to win in division because there are going to be six of your scheduled games every single year against division opponents. So you also build your team to beat division opponents. And whether it's the Thanksgiving game, and we saw what Jordan Love did last year, there's a lot of factors that play into this. Yes, the Lions are at risk. I do believe the Lions ultimately win, and I do believe it's going to be more than the 2.5 of which they're favored.
It's why I said it. It more than a field goal, and you're the home side, and it does feel kind of coin flippy. Ultimately, I lean on the Lions' healthy offensive line, okay? Because we look at the weather, and we know that could mean problems for Jared Goff, but I think fully healthy O-line, fully healthy backfield, just ride David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs all the way to the finish line.
I'm curious to what our listeners think about the weather, because I did not look at the weather as a factor until you brought it up this morning. I usually wake up that day and think, okay, what's the weather going to be? And what's it going to be in Lambeau? Or what's it going to be, you know, it won't matter what it is in Houston next year, next week. And we haven't had that issue, which is probably why I didn't even think about looking up the weather. Even though Dan Campbell, when we asked what's the most important thing to get your team ready, this was his answer. Shoes are going to be a big part of it. And it's going to be... If it's raining, and you said, what is it, 98% chance of wind and rain?
Yeah, weather.com today, 98% rain on Sunday, 15-mile-an-hour winds. Not optimal for any quarterback, and we know Jared Goff is not ideal outdoors.
Except 2 years ago, he went on the very last game of the year.
There it is.
And won in Lambeau when it was cold. When and even at that point, like they knew winning that game, it was a statement game, but it didn't matter in making the playoffs. That had already been settled. Last year, was it week three? They went to Lambeau, it's a night game, and beat them in their territory. So it's two in a row. And now all of a sudden, they're going to Lambeau. It's their first outdoor game. There's going to be weather. It's going to rain. It's going to be windy. And I still think that Jared Goff, here's why I think Jared Goff is going to excel in this game. First of all, he's not going to be asked to do a lot. We know that the deep threat is going to be sitting in Allen Park. Mm-hmm. And now you're looking at the rest of the offense. He is built to, as we saw last week, I'm going to take what's there. I'm going to be smart in what I'm doing. Unlike the first couple of games, and I know that's part of the resume this year, he is going to take what is available to him. I love the fact that Jared Goff is going to get to the line of scrimmage. He's going to put the team in the best possible play available. He has the right and the ability to check out of things that, one, the defense dictates isn't going to be successful, but also when he gets up there and says, you know what, defense, maybe it will be, maybe it won't. Maybe this is one where we just want to take a shot, but he has the ability to hit Gibbs out of the backfield. He has the ability to hit Khalif Raymond on some short routes. When you look at the receiving group, all of those guys, very reliable hands, very reliable at running good routes, and if they're wearing the right shoes, should find a way to get open. But it's the running game. It's what you talked about in the picks. It's the offensive line. This is an offensive line that is technically sound. When they are successful, and we saw it in the overtime drive against the Rams, when you play with good technique as an offensive line, weather is much less of a factor because you have a good base, you're taking good steps, your shoulders are square, you're not off balance, and when you get off balance, that's when you start to slip. This is an offensive line that plays with good technique and can be very successful in weather conditions that are projected for this game.
So what's your mood for this matchup? Will they win this football game? I think this was one of those circled before the season losses, yet the Lions are favored in this spot. The weather part of this, just another note on it. They have won two in a row at Lambeau. Last year was early in the season. There was no weather consideration at all. Lions fans also took over that stadium and kind of made it a home game. The other outdoor game you're referencing was cold, end of the season, final game 2 years ago. Jared Goff didn't throw a touchdown. It was a lot of short stuff. They won the game 20-16. I worry if that's the Goff you get and he's just okay, but Jordan Love has time to throw. Is this the game that the combo of weather plus no pass rush comes back to bite the Lions? And in terms of how Green Bay wants to play defense, John, they want to play single high safety. They want to get that other safety in the box. Doesn't that help them in a matchup where Detroit's going to be throwing shallow, short routes and relying on the run game? In some ways, Green Bay may have the ideal formula to pull off what would be an upset here.
Yeah. Well, there's a formula there for it, and you could make that argument either way. But I think with Josh Jacobs being questionable, even Jordan Love is questionable.
I think they'll both play.
I think they'll both play, but with Jordan Love and the groin issue, all of a sudden things are a little bit slippery. It takes one slip, and all of a sudden, out.
Malik Wilson. Who do you want to play, by the way?
I don't care. I don't care who it is. And I say that because of the weather. Like, if Malik Willis does come in, a large part of his game is being mobile, being able to cut, being able to move around in the pocket. They call a lot of quarterback runs with him. And the one thing that we know about the Lions defense is they're good against the run. Now, transitioning to the pass rush, that's a different issue.
Well, and that's the thing. If Malik Willis is in the game and it's unexpected and he gets outside the pocket, could he steal a first down? I mean, in some ways, it doesn't matter.
Or he could slip and fall.
Or he could. In some ways, it's going to allow you to judge this D-line one of two ways. If it's Jordan Love, he can also move, but you're going to get the best QB you've faced in this post-Aiden era to truly judge how big a deal is it that you don't have Aiden Hutchinson or reinforcements yet. You'll get a true evaluation snapshot right before the trade deadline. And if for some reason it's not Love, either a setback in injuries during the week or during the game, Malik Willis will also challenge a bunch of practice squad guys on the edge and force a real evaluation and maybe more of an urgency from Brad Holmes.
I also think Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
He's going to be a factor in this game, as he has been. Number one target for Jordan Love, a lot of his catches are acrobatic. He's very good at the 50-50 ball. He's very good down the field, diving catches, sliding catches, one-hand grabs. All of those things could be minimized because of the weather.
Lions fans, ticket text, open lines, 248-539-9797. You got the game this week, the big matchup. Pair of six-win teams fighting for first place. We'll get to what's at stake next. It's 97.1.